Rob Conger with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Well, it's an honor to welcome back to this studio Fergie Jenkins, and welcome for the first time Randy Huntley, both of whom were key members of the 1969 Chicago Cubs, which I was 5 years old, but it's one of my earliest memories, my parents being really mad, my dad being really mad in September of 1969. I think it might have been an awakening for me of like, oh, is this what anger is all? Is this
sports
what,
suffering?
Is this what sports fandom is all about? And it's the 50th anniversary of a lot of people will refer to it as, you know, the greatest team that didn't make it, you know, to the World Series. And but I think, Fergie, in the book, you've got this new book out called The 1969 Cubs, and it's available where all fine books are sold on the internet at 1969cubs.com, and also you can call 844-FERGIE-1. That's a good
that's
I think that's a good number right there.
I like that.
But what it did, I think, was, and you make this point in the book, it cemented a love affair with this particular institution, the Chicago Cubs.
I think because of the fact that we played so long together, and we had significant players from Ernie Banks, a Hall of Famer, Ron Santo, Kessinger Beckert, Randy, my partner here. It was just fun to play because of the fact that we started in spring training under Leo Durocher, under the guidance of Leo Durocher.
Right.
And we started winning from day one.
It is a thing, though, too, when you think you talk about like the longevity of teams playing together, which you don't get anymore in the modern baseball world, right? Because of free agency and all the other things. And it's better for the players, obviously. Now, you look at like Manny Machado, right? Or any of the guys who are, you know, the last two who might be standing here before it's all said and done. It is amazing to me how from the fans' perspective, you kind of wish that the players were well compensated and would stay with teams for a very long time, but that's not possible.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is free agency has brought about the opportunity to make a lot of money, to bounce around from different teams. Agents are so popular now that ball clubs don't want to talk to them, and they want long-term contracts, 7 years, 10 years,
yeah,
and millions of dollars. So that's what the game has turned into.
But you played over, what, 20 years?
I played 19 years.
20 years. Oh, 19. Okay.
19.
So you think about the average lifespan of a baseball player today versus how long you were in this league, and it's so different today.
Totally. Different. Yeah. And Randy and I can attest to that. We played together for 8 years.
Wow.
And we were partners.
How about that?
Pitching and catching.
So how did Randy, so when it came to this particular project, to the 1969 Cubs book, I mean, was it Fergie, did you know he was working on it? How did you get involved?
Well, Fergie had called me and asked me to do the foreword on the book, and I was glad to do so. And, you know, I thought it was good for Fergie to write the book on the 69 ball club, because if nothing else, we are infamous being old Chicago Cubs and not winning it in 1969.
Did you guys think in that season, and this is for either of you, for both of you, I guess, were you pretty certain that you were going to win the whole thing in 1969 as you made the turn through the middle of the summer?
Well, we stayed in first place for well over 5 months. We were hoping that things would stay the way it was, because of the fact that we had so many good series. We could win a series. You play a team three times or four times, we'd win the series. And under the guidance of Leo Durocher, we were just playing really good ball. And come the last week or 2 weeks of September,
I don't want to talk about it. I still don't want to talk. 50 years later, I don't want to talk about it. Nobody wants. Right now, there's so many people in the car going, don't bring that up. Don't bring up the last 2 weeks of September.
Does it still sting for you two guys? Chicago's coming off a pretty brutal loss over the past couple of weeks that I'm certainly not over. Are you two? You've been able to get over
that
season at
all? It's going to take 50 years for Kevin, just as a Bears fan, to get over Tony Parkey missing that.
He'll be telling the same story.
Tell me something to help me get over
years
this loss.
Well, I went home in the wintertime back to Canada, and it was over. You know, we're looking for 1970.
Right.
But the thing was that I watched the World Series, and I was kind of jealous not to be in it because of the fact that the Mets had played really good ball that last two and a half, 3 weeks.
Right, right. I know. I've hated the Mets ever since. It's just, it is. I mean, I think everybody. I think I grew up. That's the point. Is that you kind of grow up hating the Mets as a result of what happened there, mm-hmm. and now. You know, that's less of a rivalry than it was. Even in the 80s, in that, you know, that great 1984 Chicago Cubs team, they had to get past the Mets, right, to do that. And that seemed like such a cathartic experience. And it was, you know, in the NL East. And the old NL East was just a, you know, it was so much fun in terms of rivalries. The other thing with expansion and all the other things that go on in the league, and they want to add, you know, playoff teams and split everything up. It's you have to just get used to the changes. I mean, like for Kevin, this is the way he's always grown up. But for me, it was, you know, it was the NL East and the NL West, and then there was a World Series, and that was it. And you were, and the Yankees were, they seemed to be winning everything at that point. The fact that the Mets were even allowed to be in the World Series didn't seem right. All right, so of the, I guess, Randy, for. I want to ask you a little bit about catching in that day, too, because, you know, now the catching position is, you know, they're platooning guys. Obviously, you know, Fergie, we'll talk about the pitchers, you know, the specialty pitchers. How many games did you complete in your career, Fergie?
267.
Stop on that. Kevin almost fell off his chair. 267 complete games.
Complete games?
Complete right. games. Right. Complete. That's nine innings, Kevin, in baseball.
No one in modern era will ever come even close to that. Do you guys like where the game's at? I mean, the Tampa Rays are starting the game with a bullpen pitcher. He comes out for one inning, and then they go to a guy that gives them three or four innings, and then they go back to the term bullpenning is quite popular in baseball these days. What do you guys think about the way the game's being managed and handled and approached?
Well, let me answer this. It's aggravating to me. you know.
They're platooning catchers, too, Randy.
You better believe it. Yeah. If it's a right-handed pitcher, you got to put a left-handed hitter up there. We never thought about that when we were playing. Of course, that's been 50 years ago, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yes.
But it's my son played Major League Baseball, and things started changing a little bit when he started playing. And he finally convinced me that it hurts you playing day baseball in the summer here in Chicago and then going on the road and playing a lot of day games also. I argued for the longest time that it never hurt me, but he convinced me that...
All right, so he convincing you, but because you knew no different, right? Although the truth of the matter is, for a catcher especially, because you're wearing the equipment, your body's in a different configuration than everybody else's. You couldn't be like Jose Cardinal and get out in the outfield and stand in the doorway and try to get it and eat the ivy off the walls. You had to sit there in the heat right in the center of the stadium, the hottest part of the stadium. That I can imagine for catchers, it was particularly hard day baseball. I just cannot though. I mean, there were, when they got the lights in, it didn't change all that much until 2015.
Right.
I didn't play, so I can't really comment on it. But as a fan, there was something so spectacularly sacrosanct about Wrigley Field without lights. You know, it was, you know, the last one standing. There was something there was a cathedral-esque thing to it. And when the lights, I used to love it. And I think that the teams were like confused when they would call a game because of darkness, right? And you're like, all right, this, you know, it's too dark. We're not going to be able to continue on. It's not safe. I mean, and in the sunset, there's no more beautiful place, I don't think, on earth than Wrigley Field. Mm.
Right? Well, how about the home run that Ed Bummitt?
Derby.
No, the Hall of Fame catcher. Oh, I'm sorry I brought it up. this is what diabetes does to you. Messes your brain up.
Wait, what? Someone came in and just screamed a word. Yeah. Wait, Richard Roper just came in and screamed. Come back in here. Hold on, Richard Roper,
team we're talking about?
Is our baseball.
He's in the Hall of Fame, Cubs Hall of Fame. Gabby Hartnett.
Gabby Hartnett, the homer in the gloaming.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
I'll let you continue and talk to you guys later.
See you later. And don't come back in here either.
We might need him. You might want to stay.
Yeah, well, maybe, that's the greatest. I want to tell you something. And that's Richard Roper. The greatest moment of Richard Roper's career is he got thrown out of the studio by Randy Hutley. And he's a Sox fan.
Well, he threw out a lot of runners in his day, let me tell you.
That's awesome.
All of a sudden, it's a bar and not a radio interview. Sorry.
Yeah, this happened to me before. All right. So what? So that's the thing, is that the sight lines and everything were, it was very different. It's very different in light than it is in, fully bathed in night lights, in a baseball stadium. You see things very, very differently than it was at Wrigley. And that, to me, was a lot of fun. And I think there was also a tactical advantage to some degree, too. So it's sort of split.
Especially in hitting, you're able to pick up the spin on the ball from the pitcher. And sometimes at night, you don't see the spin on the ball until it gets halfway to you. And then you have to readjust. But I loved playing day ball myself. I absolutely loved it. And my son did convince me that it did wear me out.
Don't listen to your kids. You know what? I think the most important thing, Randy, is to ignore the kids at all times. If you can get away with it. As long as you can possibly get away with it. All right, Fergie.
Well, I've been trying to do that, but sometimes I can't get beyond it.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. Fergie, do you... as you throughout your amazing career, and did you hear, I don't know, Richard, if you heard this, 267 complete games.
Right.
Yeah.
He had more in one season than Clayton Kershaw has in his career.
Right. Exactly.
At 31 year.
Yeah.
31 year.
Yeah.
30 lucky if a guy gets three this season.
30, did you hear that, Kevin? It's 31 complete games.
That's wild. That's wild.
Now,
first of all, you have to understand that he was a pretty good hitter. And that allowed him
that's
to stay
true.
In
there. He did stay. Yeah. That's absolutely true. But in terms of Fergie, in terms of what you see now as pitchers, guys have specialty pitches, right? And if a guy's got two great pitches, it's one thing. You had to have everything, right?
I had four. I had a pretty good changeup, fastball, curveball, slider. Mm-hmm. And I threw a lot of off-speed pitches, depending on what Randy was calling sometimes.
But wait a minute. Now, we got an argument here.
Here we go.
I used to shake him off a lot.
Yes, he did.
and threw my own pitch. No, but as you said, the specialty part of it, I still get ticked off when a guy is pitching a seven-inning shutout, giving up two hits, and they go to the bullpen. And he's winning the ballgame.
Yeah.
And the bullpen comes in and gives up run, and he gets a no decision. And
you might have seen this even in Cubs' very end of the season with the Cubs last year, which was, that you talk about disappointments. The 1969, that's goes down in lore, right, in terms of disappointment in baseball. But, this team, which is really in its championship window here, to have a moment where they don't really, they make the playoff because they make the one-game playoff. But, this is a team that everybody expects now to, be World Series contenders. Do you think they can turn this around?
I believe so. I think they've got young pitching in their farm system. And it really depends on Theo Epstein and the manager if these young men really deserve an opportunity to join the ball club. And they're going to use them in the spring training. So I think these young men will get an opportunity to show what they can do. And then it's up to them to make the ball clip.
Yeah. I think also it's going to be a lot of fun on the South Side, too, because you're seeing these young kids coming up. And I think Chicago's going to get to see this kid, Eloy Jimenez, this year, that at the end of AAA season last year, the opposing teams, he was playing for Charlotte, the opposing teams would come in and put four guys in the outfield because they did not know what to do. If you're seeing that in AAA baseball, which is pretty damn good, right? That they didn't know what to do with him, he's going to be something special, I think, in Major League. So we'll see.
The amazing thing about it is the alignments that ball clubs are making defensively on hitters. And I'm telling you now, if I'd be playing now, they would be playing four players on the left-hand side because I could never hit the ball to the right.
Did you ever accidentally, Randy, hit the ball to the right?
I'm telling you, and Leo, I used to aggravate Leo to death that I couldn't hit the ball over there, but I want to get out in front of that pitch. I don't want it to be jamming me, and then I was going to say,
Randy's like the worst pull hitter in baseball, but he pulled everything.
Well, I didn't want to say it, but I think guys are sissies when they hit the ball the other way.
That's sissy Rod Carew and his 236 hits.
Oh, wait, I played with that guy, and I want to tell you something. Uh-huh. Every night he amazed me. He'd get a base hit, swinging bunt or whatever, and he'd look over the dugout, and I'd be sitting there, I don't believe you. This guy could make contact with the ball that was unbelievable.
Had a magic wand.
Yes, he did. He was terrific. Yeah. A great guy, too.
It's fun because the baseball skill, right, essentially hitting the ball and throwing the ball has not changed, right? The technology hasn't really changed. And, you know, you wonder, the greats of today, you know, there's obviously... You know, there's sort of a different physicality to a lot of the athletes today than there might have been earlier. But this, it's still, you got to be able to hit that ball. You got to be able to put that. And it is amazing. To me, it's the single greatest thing that can be done in sports.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. When we played, we could never pick up a weight and build our muscles up to play baseball. You should see the Cubs... weightlifting facility in spring training. It's unbelievable how many weights they have in there, and bands, and you know,
right,
all kinds of
physical
things.
Physical nature is totally different. Yeah.
Yes,
it's a cross between Gold's Gym and LA Fitness.
Yeah,
I mean, lots of money is spent to make these guys big and strong, and you don't have to be that big and strong to hit a 5-ounce ball.
Excellent point, Fergie Jenkins. I'm with you. That's what I told my dad, too, and it didn't work out for anybody. All right, Fergie Jenkins, such an honor to have you in here. And what fun, your battery mate, Randy Huntley, with you. The 1969 Cubs is the book, and you can find it on the internet at 1969cubs.com or 844-FERGIE-1. That's the phone number, 844-FERGIE-1. George Castle helped with this, as well as John Hanley did the cover art. It's really super, super cool. And I'm going to tell you something. The thing I love about this book is if you're a super baseball fan, some might say geek, and especially if you remember the 69 season or you think you remember it, it takes you back into very specific moments that I, you know, nobody's really, you know, they probably can't remember, and you go, oh, I remember that, or I had that moment. It's a great trip down that memory lane for Cubs fans. They're absolutely going to love it. Or even for Mets fans. Mets fans might buy this thing.
Oh, jeez.
Boo! If you're 5 or 6 years old in 69, I don't think you're reading about a book. But when you're older. I mean, it's a good read. People will really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it's the true story, what actually happened right from spring training to the end of the season.
That's great. Awesome. It's great
stuff.
How
cool is that?
Thank you very much. Appreciate you, gentlemen, being with us. Let's check in with Kim Gordon, find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the newsroom.